Thank the Lord this morning for this service. Lord, for all of the songs and for these special songs. Makes me think of the scripture that says, line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And so that's how the Lord leads us, how he helps us to grow and make progress. It has to be our own testimony that the Lord has led us to the land we hold today. This morning, I desire your prayers. Really need the Lord. Feel a great dependency upon him. I want to speak to us in the beginning of our thoughts about the work of God. And actually, these two songs speak about the work of God. How he works with us to teach us and lead us, and then how he helps us again and again. That is the work of God. But I want us to think about, in Genesis, there are some key words that denote God's work, and I know we're familiar with this, but we will find where it says, the Spirit of God moved. Another key phrase, and God made. Another one was, and God set, and God created, and God said. That's all part of his work. God is a worker. He's not lazy. God, we believe, he never goes to sleep, and he never takes a vacation. He is always there, and he works. In the second chapter of Genesis, verses 1 and 2, it says this, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he had rested from all his work. So that sort of gives us a little picture. Normally we read this passage and we think, well, the message is going to go into the Sabbath about rest. But no, we want to think this morning about the work of God. He's still working. He started out working. He's worked all of these years. He's never tired. And he is still working, and he still will work tomorrow. Ever how long this world stands, and ever how many people will trust him and believe in him, he will work. Thank the Lord. Sister Marlene testified of his work. Thank the Lord. Praise him for his work. So we want to think about the wonderful works of God. And then we're going to talk about our works. But we have to talk about his work first. Over in Psalms 40, verse 5, we want to give just a few verses here in Psalms, because Psalms greatly praises the works of God. Not that the other scriptures don't. They all magnify the works of God. And there is no way that we can really do justice to all of the work of God, except to just give us a little bird's eye view this morning. So the 40th chapter and verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. That's us. God has thoughts this morning that he wants to perform his work in us and for us. And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Well, this morning, if we each one could recall all of the works of God that he has performed in each of our lives, this day would not hold all of the testimonies. We would be here all day, all night, maybe all week. You think that's exaggerated? Because as we would begin to testify of his good and wonderful works, it would cause us to remember more. And maybe it would cause this one over here to recall what the Lord had done for them. And then that testimony would excite this one. And so we would just keep on going. And it's the wonderful works of God to mankind. Thank the Lord. Now turn to the 111th chapter of Psalms. And we're going to be reading several verses here. It's just so important because they speak of the works of God. And it says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Oh, let us praise the Lord. Let us recall his wonderful works in our life. It's so important to repeat it from one generation to another generation. We need to remember the works that's been performed in former generations. Those that we recall their testimonies. Tell it again. You know, I remember Sister Catherine when she would preach, and she would often tell the same thing over and over. Did we get tired of it? We miss it. We miss it now. I remember Brother Beasley at Monarch would get up and testify of a certain dealing of the Lord. That's his work. When he deals with us, when he touches a place in our life, that's the work of God. And he's working with us to help us make heaven. Thank the Lord. But Brother Beasley, you know, you all know that he would give maybe the same testimony year after year about how the Lord dealt with him, about he bought this particular item at Walmart, and then he decided to take it back, I think, and it wasn't exactly honest. And he would tell on himself just about every year. And maybe we thought, well, that's just a little Listen, we need to remember it and tell it even now to help us to know the work of God is working with each one of us in our hearts today. And so we need to praise him for it. And so verse 2 says, "The works of the Lord are great." The beginning of verse 3, "The work of God is honorable and glorious." Verse 4, "He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered." Verse 5, "He hath given meat." Did you know that's works? That's his work. Spiritual meat to strengthen us. He gives us that meat. "Unto them that fear him, he will ever be mindful of his covenant." Verse 6, "He hath shewed his people the power of his works." I didn't even realize that this chapter had so much about works till the Lord opened it up. Verse 7, "The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All of his commandments are sure." Verse 8, "They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and righteousness." This is the works of God. Verse 9, "He sent redemption unto his people." That's his work. We'll stop with that now and go a little bit farther, because that one speaks about his redemption, which is Jesus. We have a verse that's very familiar, and two of our little students this morning said it. "For God so loved the world that he gave." He worked through his Son. "For our salvation, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him." Believing is so important this morning when it comes to the works of God, and not doubting. We must not doubt. So Jesus had a work to accomplish. He was sent to do something for mankind that no other could do. No other man could do what Jesus did. No other name is there under heaven whereby men shall be saved. So it's the only name. And Jesus is that name. And he was to bring salvation to whom? Fallen man. He was to bring reconciliation and redemption. That's his work. And Jesus said this in different places, and you can remember it. I'm not going to turn and read it, just give it a quote. He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me." So he was here. He had a mission, and he didn't do it in himself. He didn't make his own plan. He was sent here to do the works of the Father. And then I'm thinking as he hung on the cross, just before he expired, what did he say? In my words, I'm going to put it this way. My work is finished. He said, it's finished. And sometimes we might hear people say that. Well, it's in the word also. When our work is done, when my life comes down to an end and I'm finished with all of the labors of my life, that's when it ends. So he said, my work that I was sent to do, it's finished. I accomplished it. When we think of just these few little verses, and we don't have time to really expound on a whole lot more, but I hope that you will go home and begin to look in the Word and recognize even more of God's works to His people, to mankind in the earth. But He has really provided all things for us. He provided it, and He provides. Current today, we're very familiar with the Word, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His works will still be performed for as long as you live if you trust in Him, if you put your faith in Him, if you put your hand in His hand, He'll work for you. Thank the Lord. The Scripture says that He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. So He works for everyone. And if we think about rain or weather, we could say, well, He sends the sun. Nothing would grow without the sun. So He still is working. He still is ordering all of the seasons. And all of this is for man. We would die if He quit working. If he began to say, well, I'm tired of all of the wickedness of the earth, I'm just going to close off the sun, we would die. But He's still working. He's still ordering all things to be in order. And of course, then we have to say that above all of these earthly things, He is still working for our salvation, and He is still working to provide ways of escape. Thank the Lord, every day He's providing a way for you to escape. So now I want to go on and talk a little bit about man's work. There's a scripture in John 6:28. And the people asked this question. And the people said unto Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You ever ask that question? It would pay us to have that question in our heart, in our mind. What do I do to work the works of God? Well, I'm going to go on with that part, maybe the verse before that. Jesus made this statement which caused them to ask that question, and He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So there's some laboring for us. And it caused these people then to say that He was speaking to, they made them question, well, what do we do to do the works of God? Can't labor for all of this life. And then verse 29, Jesus answered it, and it says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. So that's one phase of the work of God. It's a very vital phase, because we must believe in Him, but there's many other parts to work to the work of God and for us to know how to work the works of God. I'm thinking of John 14:1, which is a familiar scripture, and it says, ye believe in God. And Jesus said, you believe in Me too. And many people at that time doubted who He was and what His work in the earth was. They doubted. But you and I are so blessed because we know who He is. We have the Word to study. We can study it and see the works of God all the way through the Bible. Someone said it really reminded me of something that I even said one time, and it wasn't just me. There were these little philosophical statements being made among us, and it was this. Well, it's not just a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. How many of us have possibly thought that about the Word of God? It's not a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. I said it. I preached it. It sounded logical. But then one day when I was in prayer, the Lord showed me the truth of it. He said, "My Word is a bunch of laws of do's and don'ts from beginning to end. How would we know what to do and what not to do if it wasn't there?" So don't fall for that thought. That's from the enemy. The enemy wants us to think that we're just living under a bunch of laws of do's and don'ts. We're not. We're living for the works of God. His work in the earth, His work for you and me, is to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to enlighten us. He shows us a path of righteousness. There aren't a bunch of laws a bunch of paths that lead to heaven. There's one. And I didn't say that. The Word says that. There is but one true way. It is, and the song says, it's the Bible way. And so God's work to you and me is to teach us how to live a holy life, how to walk this way, how to make heaven. I am so thankful for the work of God that can speak to us when we have gotten a little off course. I was getting a little off course because it's a philosophy of the world. Don't eat it. Don't drink of it. Don't believe it. If that was true, what would happen to the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not. Is that a law? Is it a law that's don't do this? And what about the ones that does say for us what to do? Doesn't it say some things, thou shalt do this and live? That's a scripture. You do this and you will live. Scripture says do good. I'm just going to give you a few. It says do good. And then he tells us how to do good. That's his work. He's teaching us. It's his commandments. Oh, thank the Lord for the truth this morning of his word. That you and I don't have to be blind. We don't have to be deceived. We don't have to believe a lie. We don't have to follow darkness. We can follow light. Thank the Lord. So I'm thinking about in the beginning also with Adam and Eve. Did God command them to do any work? Yes. Even before they fell, the scripture says in Genesis 2 and 5, for Adam to till or work the ground. So work was important for man. God did not intend to do all of the work and you and me just sit back and do nothing. We have work to do. We have work that is commanded of us, even for our families. We are not in this world just floating along. We have work to do. And Adam had work to do. But there was a curse when Adam fell and Eve. And that was that the man would then work by the sweat of his brow. But there were other things that the Lord commanded. He said to man, he said, I want you to be fruitful. That's your work. Be fruitful. He said, I want you to replenish the earth. There's various ways that you and I work to help the world around us. We are just in a small little corner of the world in reality. And we're to work in that little corner. Whatever that little place is in your life, do it with all of your ability that God gives you. Do it with all of your might. As a matter of fact, he says, do it with all of your might. So we have some work to do. He also said to subdue it and to have dominion over it. And then we have to consider the women. Women have work. Women are called. They're not just objects. They are human beings of the earth. God places them in life, and they have a special place. And he said, I want you to be a keeper at home. Did you know that's a big work to keep homes, to keep families? He says in another place, I want you to guide the house. Oh, I want to tell you, men and women have a great responsibility of working for their families, for their children, for their homes. Our brethren are called to work, to provide for a house. It's a commandment. And it says that if they don't do it, that they are counted as one that is worse than an infidel. So God, it's God's work, but we do the work because He told us to. You go out and you face the world. God made our brethren strong. He made the men stronger than us women. Us women are counted as weaker vessels. And yet He says that we can do things for the man because that man needs something. He needs someone to help him in life. Thank the Lord. So it goes on down and it says for the woman to do good to her husband. Just do good. And then if when we go over and we consider the 31st chapter of Proverbs, we're still thinking of God's work because He is telling us how to work. But a few of those places over in what we call the virtuous woman, I'm going to say, I believe it can apply to both the man and the woman. It says to work willingly with your hands. You know, work is so much easier if it's done willingly, if it's done with joy, if you enjoy your work. I love housework. I love gardening. And I can get lost in both. A whole day can be gone and maybe one job leads to another. You ever find that? Us that are at home, we might start cleaning out one drawer and it leads to another drawer and another door and then a closet. And it's not hard. You can take pleasure in work. And He wants us to because we're doing it for our house. And our brethren, if they love their work, oh, they don't mind getting up in the morning and going to their job. And I'm going to say, I believe the Lord wants us to love our work. And if you have a job that you really hate, seek the Lord to give you a job that you can really love. I believe He wants to do that. That's part of His work. He wants to do things for us. Open doors that we can't open. Close doors that we can't close. That's His work. Another part in there says, they look well to the ways of their household. I don't believe that's just woman's work. I believe that has to be men's work as well. You don't just work on a job to bring in the money that food can be on the table. There is something of looking well to the children, to their welfare, to their happiness, taking time to be with your children and playing with them. Oh yes, play can be part of your work. Take time to play. There's this little saying, I'm not sure, somebody might have to help me. Something about all work and no play makes a dull boy or something like that. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to take pleasure in our families and play some. Be balanced. It's part of our work. And then it says, the last verse of that chapter says this, and I believe it can apply to both. And it says, let their own works praise them. You know, when you see a slothful woman that doesn't keep her house, it does not praise them. And I'm again saying there's a balance. You know, we can also, and there's a word for it, you know, where you're so particular, you don't want any smudges. You can be too particular and everybody has to live in a straitjacket. That's not balanced. But I want to tell you, in the balance of the work of God, He's calling for us to provide homes that are a sanctuary, a place of rest, a place of joy, a place where the husband, the father, enjoys coming home to these children and this wife, and the house is not just in a total disarray. What is best is for the mother when it's getting close time for that father to come home. Okay, children, let's get this all picked up now. Have some structure, some discipline. And let him come to a place that looks well kept. Oh, I'm telling you, children are going to be children, and there's going to be toys strung all over, and there's going to be times that you're going to be sewing. And I'm telling you now, when I sew, when I had my little children and I sewed all of their clothes, my house looked like a tornado went through it. But there came a point of cleaning it up. Remember, God's work is a balanced work, and He wants our homes to be happy. He wants to work in those. You know what? You can go out there and be a missionary all you want, but it really starts in the home. You can go and work and speak and everything, but if you haven't got it together right here, what good is that? It makes me think of the scripture, and I apply it to myself. Lest when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. I want to say this morning, God has a work for families, for husbands, for wives, for children, and He wants it to be balanced and happy. Thank the Lord. So, one more thing. Labor not to be rich. That's an exhortation, because we can get out of balance if we think we have to work all the time, and if we never take the time with our families like we should. Now I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter 3, and we're going to read a lot of that chapter. This is about home life and speaks about wives. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That is work. If we find ourselves in a situation with an unsaved companion, and this goes both ways, God has a work for you. To bear a burden for your companion is a work that God wants to work with. And He has a way to help you to be able to have the conversation or the conduct that will win them. You might say, well, what if they never get saved? If you still obey the Word of God and you follow it, God will bless you and anoint your life that they have confidence. I believe it leaves a little place open for the Holy Spirit to work with them, to deal with their heart, to draw them. Oh, I must go on. Maybe we won't read all of this, but sometime read this, the rest of this in there. Now, verse 7 speaks about husbands. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And then this is the important part. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Oh, there is so much in this chapter, and it is so important that you and I live together in harmony, that our prayers can go through. Prayers are very important, and for the sake of time, I'm going to skip over a lot of those. I was really wanting 1 through 12, so sometime if you have the time, verse 12, it speaks about the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. God wants to hear our prayers, but He also wants us to work at living together in harmony, that our prayers can be heard. So I'm going to end the little thought this morning now, speaking to you about how vital it is with our prayers, being heirs together with the grace of life. There is a scripture in Isaiah 45. This is one I have mentioned before, and I'm going to read verse 12 first and then verse 11. And verse 12 says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Now, God commands this whole earth. He commands the universe. He set it all in order, in sequence. It works. It's in balance. He created it all. But now look at verse 11. Thus saith the Lord. Now the Lord said this. The Holy One of Israel and His Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now, this is a little switch, but it has to do with our prayers. It has to do with faith. Faith being our works. Believing in God. Believe also in me. What is the work of God but to believe in him that was sent? Believe. He created it all. He is a great God. He works for us. But he's coming now and saying, I want you to command my hands. Command the works of my hands. I invite you to. There were several places in the New Testament. You can find them. That Jesus said, what would you have me do for you? He asked them that. What would you have me do for you? Did you know he's asking today? What do you need? What can I do for you today? It's his work. Jesus did many wonderful works, miraculous. We call him a miracle-working God. And he could not stay, could he? He had to go back to the Father, and he said, I'll send the Comforter, and you will have the power then. You will have power when I send the Comforter. But because he had to go back then, we that are his had to become something in his place. We had to become his hands and his feet and his eyes and his ears and his mouth. He has a work for us now. So what he is saying is, I am here for you to command. Do you believe that? Do you believe that that's why he wants us to pray? He said in one scripture, he said, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. What limits God? Our lack of faith, our doubts, our fears, and the enemy is working on that. The enemy wants to hinder us in our faith through doubts and fears, and I do too. He does me that way too. We have to fight. It's part of our work, is to fight. I have read this before, but I'm telling you, it came back to me this morning, and I just, it fits. And it's an inspiration to me every time I have thought of it or read it. And it was in a little book that I read, and I've often thought that this was, this little passage right here in this book was the whole reason the Lord seemed to put it in my path. But the woman of whom this book is written, she had this dream, and she was in a room where there was a woman that was lying upon a sick bed, seemingly unto death. And she looked up and she saw Jesus standing in the corner of this room, in this dream. And she ran over and she kneeled down in front of Jesus. Naturally, if you and I were to look up and see Jesus, our focus would be upon him, would it not? And she ran over and she knelt down to him and she said, what should I do? We might say, well, what kind of work do you want me to do? And Jesus answered her and said, pray for this woman. And so she did. She went over by the bed and she prayed fervently for this woman to be healed. And then the next day, it came to her what was in her dream. And she said, why did Jesus ask me to pray for this woman when he was right there? And then she understood, our prayers are vital to our Lord. He works through them. Get a picture of that. Have faith. God works through your prayers. You are commanding the works of God's hands through the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. Believing prayer is tremendous power, is made available through a good man's earnest prayer. Prayer releases the power into the person for whom you plead. I would that we could all carry that home with us today, that God has a work. He still wants to work, but you and I have a work also. It starts in our homes. Well, it starts with salvation, but it works through our homes, and it works through our prayers when they're not hindered. And then we can have faith and confidence that we can command the works of God's hands. In closing, I found this little poem, just one verse of it. It sort of impressed me. It says, take then faith of God, free from the taint of doubt, the miracle-working rod that casts all reasoning out. Did you know sometimes we have to cast out all of the human reasonings? Oh, that's not possible. How do I know God wants to do that? We still ask. Until you know God says no, until you know it is not God's will, you ask. So you cast out all reasoning. It shall be done. Stand on the word. Challenge thy mountain in the Lord. We all have mountains. And he said that we would be able to say unto this mountain, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. But our work is to believe. Pray for me.